start today, which would be today 8, but then find and read backwards too. It won't take you very long to get caught up. Next week, we'll be talking about the issue of being filled with the Spirit, how God fills us with the Spirit. Years ago, I was pastoring a church, youth pastor in Minnesota. Flew out to California to buy a bus for the church. We initially were going to drive, it was the middle of January, we were going to drive from Modesto up over I-80 and go that route. We got as far as probably Blue Canyon and realized that they were going to shut the whole road down. A blizzard had come in. We turned around, parked back down by Auburn, and then realized that what it was is this massive blizzard came in, dropped like some massive, like 6 feet of snow on the top of the mountain. And it literally was going to be potentially days before they opened the pass. And so we decided we don't want to wait in Auburn for days. So we decided we would take the southern route, and we left Auburn, drove all the way down through Bakersfield, over to Tehachapi, and decided to go the southern route because we knew that that same storm had closed every pass going east. We got down to be Interstate 40, and if you've ever driven, how many of you have driven on that road? It's quite beautiful for the first 5 miles, okay? Middle of winter time, it looks quite desolate. In fact, interesting, as we were making our way across northern Arizona, then New Mexico, and we found that I had the opportunity to fill up with gas in this bus. It got about 6 miles per gallon, old international bus. We found our way going across the northern part of Texas, and it is a desolate-looking place in the daytime, but in the nighttime, it's even more desolate. And I thought, well, we'll get gas at the next stop. This was on a Sunday late afternoon. We get to the next stop, closed on Sunday. Okay, we'll go to the next stop, closed on Sunday. Then I begin to kind of panic, realizing that, okay, is every gas station in Texas closed on Sunday? The answer is a whole lot of them. We're driving, and I'm noticing, because I've driven these buses, I was a bus driver for many, many years, and you get to that place in your life where you know your car, don't you? And when the light comes on that says there's no more fuel, you know there's still fuel, don't you? Men like to do this. Women do not like to do this. Men like to roll the dice, live on the edge. I know exactly when that light comes on that I can still drive to Santa Rosa. And Sue doesn't much appreciate that. But then, so I don't do that when I'm with her. But if I'm by myself, I know if the light comes on in Cloverdale, I can still make it to Ukiah. Same thing. If I'm going from Lakeport and it comes on, I can still make it to Ukiah. But now they've made it easy for me because they put a new gas station on Highway 20 there. Now back to the story. Here's what happened. I'm out of gas and I'm running on fumes, and I'm praying, oh Lord, please. We pull off. I said, there's got to be one on this next exit. I pull off in the exit. And in fact, they're all closed. And this is, you know, if people ever said, have I ever seen an angel before? This is the only time I can think of that may have been an angel. I look out of the corner of my eye, and down the frontage road, I see another gas station, and I see the faint glimmer of a light inside. We drive the bus down there, and sure enough, it's closed, but the light inside, and I look on the floor of this, it's like some Circle K type of a place, and sleeping on the concrete floor is a man. And I go and knock on the door. He wakes him up. He had closed the shop but was so tired that he fell asleep on the concrete floor. And when I asked him, can we still get some gas, he said, yeah. I said, boy, that's strange. Why would I fall asleep on a concrete floor in North Texas, you know? And I said, it's just, the guy had to be an angel probably, you know? Now, what does that story have to do with the topic today about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Here's my premise. We got to be filled with something. The question today is that what fills your life? And the things that fill our life typically are the things that control our lives. The question I want to ask each one of us today, when have you ever run out of those things that you so desperately need in life? Now, here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love. You ever run out of love? There's that person in your life or that child or that relative or that friend, and you've just come to the end of yourself. I can't love this person anymore. What about this one? Ever run out of joy? You get out and you're ready to start your car, it won't start. You know, there's these things that just try to rob us of our joy. Here's the next one. What about peace? Oh, Lord, you know, I can't have peace right now. My child is sick and I've lost my job. And I just can't have peace. Next one. Patience. Look at this. It's coming slow. Oh, no, go back up. There you go. Can you back it up? No, I guess not. Anyway, patience. Here's what happened to me the other day. I'm in Safeway, and there's a long line. And they should have known how important my time was. The person in front of me, she's talking to her friend. She's the checker talking to her friend about what they're going to do after work, and na 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 na. And I didn't care, you know. And I was getting quite impatient. Now, none of you ever do that, I know. But I just have to be transparent as your pastor. I was going, you know, inside. And I finally said, oh, and the Lord's saying, I'm testing you. You ever run out of patience? What about kindness? When is the key thing is, boy, I don't feel like being kind to the person who just did something bad to me. Next one. Goodness. Lord, I don't feel like doing what's good. I want to do what's bad. Well, I want to do something that's marginal just to be a rebel. Faithfulness. Well, I'm not sure if I should be faithful to those vows I made or those promises I made. And the last one. No, the second last. Gentleness. Gentleness is being able to treat people with grace. And the last one, self-control. What happens in our lives when we run out of those things? And here's what I know. That God fully intends me to run out of those things of my own power. Because he wants to say this, Gary, you were not made to be the reservoir of these things. There's no person that has all the love, all the joy. But that's why he fills us with the Spirit. That we may have unlimited resources to love when it's hard to love. To have joy when someone's kicking sand in our face. To have peace in the middle of a storm. And that's what we want to talk about today. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I need to correct something theologically, because here's what the Bible says. There's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes at the time when we are saved, when we surrender our life to Christ, when we receive Him as our Savior and Lord. When we say yes to Christ, when he has called to us and we say, I'm yours. Here's what it says. Ephesians 1, 11 to 14, 13 to 14. In him you also having, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, having also believed, so you listen, then you believed, were sealed with him, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge for our inheritance, a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So we heard the message, we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you want to debate me on that, then just show up at my office and we'll talk all about it. That's how it works. You believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Who sealed us and gave us the Holy Spirit Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. The indwelling of the Spirit doesn't happen some random time later. It testifies that you are a child of God. John chapter 14. I love this. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and after a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, this is the one who loves me, and one who loves me will be with my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. It talks about that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. Okay? So the question then is, what's the difference between that and being filled with the Spirit? Because it says here in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they all prayed, the place shook, and they were all filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, here's what it says in Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 21. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Interesting here, if in fact the Holy Spirit dwells in us forever and is a seal forever that we are his children, then it says here, be filled with the Spirit. And interesting there, the Greek word there, filled, is in the present imperative. Here's what that means. Continue to be filled. Okay? Drinking water, fill it up. Drinking water, fill it up. Drinking water, fill it up. Continue to be filled. Now, according to that passage in Ephesians chapter 5, these are the effects of being filled with the Spirit. The first one is joyful worship. Okay? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, that's the first thing. Ought to affect how we worship. Now, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Is this the only place you get to worship? No. You can worship driving your car. You can worship waking up in the morning. You can worship cleaning up the kitchen. You can worship mowing the lawn. You can worship all the time. But when you come here to worship, I want to ask you the question, is the Lord worthy of our worship? Is it about you? Is it about you? Then, when you come to worship, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but when we sing, sing to him. He's worthy of that. You may not like the particular song. You might like a song better. It's irrelevant. He alone is worthy of our worship. And being filled with the Spirit makes us want to worship him. And if we come in and we're going, I wish they'd just get done with this worship stuff. You know, it's not about you. God loves our voices. And you may say, well, God doesn't love my voice because I don't have the voice of, you know. Well, one day you might, but God doesn't care. The fact is, he wants us to worship. And the first thing of being filled with the Spirit says is that we worship the Lord. The next thing, it gives us a spirit of gratitude. Of gratitude. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father. It is a perpetual gratitude. It says, I want you to be grateful for the good things that happened in your life. Is that what it says? No, it does not say that. be grateful, be thankful, always, for all things. Does that mean when you're struck with some terrible disease or your child has, oh Lord, thanks so much, my child has this terrible disease or this happened or this tragedy happened. Here's what you can do. Lord, I thank you that you are God and you are the blessed controller of all things. I don't understand it, but thank you. In the midst of the storm that I can hold on to you. So being filled with the Spirit is a spirit of gratitude, of gratefulness. Of not what you don't have, but what you do have. The last one, being filled with the Spirit, manifests itself in loving submission to other people's needs. It says this. Verse 21. Let me read it here once again. Always giving thanks to the Lord, Jesus, and even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So this is interesting to me. Shouldn't surprise us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit causes us to do two key things. To love God with our worship and our praise, and to do what? Love people. Boy, that's what we've been talking about. Let's make it simple. What's our vision? What's our purpose? We got to love God and love people to know Christ and make Him known. Keep it simple. We'll do that, and as we do that powerfully, filled with the Spirit, we'll change Lake County. Because when we're filled with the Spirit and not filled with other things, then we worship Him powerfully, and we love one another powerfully. And I think that's obviously what's missing in the world. So the question then is, how do you get filled with the Spirit? Do we have a special class? Do we have a special service where that happens? How do you get filled with the Spirit? Well, I think there's some encouraging things here. The first one is this. Drink. We'll start with the closest parallel. It says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Using that as analogy. You drink one glass of wine, the person's not going to get... But it's something you have to keep doing, and ultimately it happens. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:13 said this, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Jesus said this, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about what? The Spirit. John 7:37 and following. First thing we need to do, friends, as a church and individuals, you want to be filled with the Spirit? Be thirsty for Jesus. So here's the lesson. Lesson. Next pop. Is it there? There we go. Lesson. You can't be filled with the Spirit if you don't thirst for Jesus. It's impossible. He's the one who fills you up. And you may be thirsting for a lot of stuff, fame and fortune. I don't know what it is. Personal affluence, maybe just a quiet day off. But we're told here to drink. Come to Christ, who's the source of living water. And he says here that he's speaking of the Spirit. So the question I ask each one of us today, do you thirst for Jesus? Are you thirsty for Him? Are you thirsty for His presence and His companionship and your prayers? Next one. Crucify. Jesus says, anyone who would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 to 25 says this, and those who are in our Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Colossians 3:5, therefore put to death your members which are of the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Friends, we realize in our life, if we want to be filled with the Spirit, we got to stop feeding the things that are dead. Okay? tells us in Romans that make no provision for the flesh and its desires. The word provision there in the Greek is the word for provisioning a ship when it goes on a voyage. But here's what we do. We say, oh, I don't want to sin, I don't want to sin, I don't want to sin. But we feed the sin by what we take in and what we allow in our lives. So the next thing we have to do, if we want to be filled with the Spirit, we have to crucify the flesh. Crucify the old stuff. Put it to death. Realize that doesn't belong in my life anymore. Here's the lesson. You can't be filled with the Spirit if you're filled with yourself or the world. Friends, when we come in worship together, it's about the Lord and not about you. Now, quite obviously, we should be interacting with one another and we know the Lord's going to speak to us. The fact is that in our lives, we have to come to that point and say, Lord, please, I don't want to be filled with myself. That is why humility is such an important part of understanding powerful prayer. If it's all about you, then I don't think personally that God's interested in just being a big sugar daddy in heaven, giving me whatever I want. No, he wants to be my heavenly Father who gives me good things, the right things. So the next thing, we drink, we crucify. Next, we walk with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the Spirit wages war against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Galatians 6, 16 to 18. And as many as you walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon you and upon the God of Israel. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body with the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Your spirit, amen. It says, walk according to this rule. That I need to learn to walk. It says in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. What does that mean? That means if I drink, I thirst for Jesus. I say, Lord, I want to put aside those things that are holding me back, that I'm filling myself up with. But I need to walk with Him. How many of you have a dear, dear friend who's really been a blessing to you, but you really haven't talked to for 5, 10 years? Many people do. They're still good friends because, you know, the friendship translates throughout time. But the fact is that don't you think you've missed something? I think of my friend John, my fly fishing buddy up in Eureka. I thought about him as I was preparing. I said, you know, I need to give John a call. I sure miss our fly fishing adventures. We'd go a couple times a year, and I thought, you know, I need to do that again. You see, he's my friend, but I'm the one who's got to say, you know what? There's no one, you know, who has kidnapped me or hogtied me to say, you can't call your friend. It's got to be something that I choose to do. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. We walk with Him. There's a communion with Him. Here's a lesson. Can't be filled with the Spirit if you're out in left field. God wants to do something. We're out doing our own thing. We're not walking with Him. We're just doing our own thing. And you may not even be doing stuff that's bad. It's just not what the Lord wants. Or you haven't even asked Him, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? We're out in left field. Next way we get filled with the Spirit, we pray. We pray. The book of Ephesians is so powerful as it relates to the Holy Spirit. It tells us we are, through hearing and believing, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He goes on and he's talking about what that's all going to look like about prayer. Here's what it says. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. This is Ephesians 3, 14 and 19. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Here's how Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. He prayed that they would be filled up with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his power and his love and his mercy. You see, as we're going through 40 days of prayer, and I'm saying, Lord, how can we as a church be a spirit-filled church? It comes by saying, Lord, I want to be thirsty for you. Only Jesus could quench the thirst. Lord, I want to crucify the flesh. I don't want to live by my lusts and flesh. I want to live by your goodness. Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to walk by myself. Lord, I want to pray that you would fill me up. And here's what it says, that they may grow, that they be strengthened in the inner man according to the Spirit. In Philippians it says that they may grow in all knowledge and all depth of insight as to who Jesus is. That's what we need. So the lesson is this, is that you can't be filled with the Spirit if you're not talking to God. It's pray and obey. I think the Lord allows me to run out of myself. And then he says, Gary, oh that you would be filled with me. Oh that you would be filled with me. There's an interesting parable that Jesus shares with us in Matthew chapter 25. It's one of those parables that many people, they misunderstand it, I think, but I just want to share a bit of it with you. The kingdom of God is to be compared with 10 virgins or bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in the flask among their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!" Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, saying, "No, therefore, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make their purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him in the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door." And he answered and said, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert, for you do not know the day and the hour." Now, there's a lot of lessons you can get from that, but here's a lesson I want to make. First of all, we don't understand the context of that. In the olden days in ancient Israel, you'd get engaged, and they would set a date. They would say, okay, here's the invitation. But the wedding time was really determined by the time that the bridegroom was ready. You didn't know the time, but the bridesmaids were supposed to be there and be part of the celebration throughout the town. They're supposed to bring a lamp and be ready, because sometimes it could come at night. There was always, when the bridegroom was ready, an announcement by typically the best man, saying, trumpet's blowing, da-da-da, the bridegroom is coming. And then you're supposed to get ready, and they're dancing through the streets, and they bring it to the place, and there's the wedding happening. Everybody who would have heard this from Jesus would have understood that. So here's the question. 5 of them had enough oil, 5 did not. They all fell asleep. So falling asleep is not really the issue, because people sleep. The issue that I want to mention is this. when there came a time where they needed the oil, they couldn't get it from somebody else. And here's the lesson. You can't use someone else's oil. Your mom or your dad or your grandpa may have been the most dynamic believer you've ever known. Praise God for that. That doesn't make you one. You need to be filled with the Spirit. I can't give it to you. Only God can. You come to Him and say, Lord, I want to drink from You. I want to thirst for You, Christ. I'm so thirsty I need more Jesus. Lord, I'm so thirsty that I'm willing to put aside all those things that are holding me back. Because if you're filled with yourself and this church is filled with itself, we'll never experience the full blessing of the Spirit. What a tragedy that would be. If you're not walking with the Spirit, then how can He speak those words of encouragement to you? He's got to shout them to you. And that's why we need to be prayerful. Here we see the prayer of Paul. Oh Lord, that I may be filled up with the knowledge of who You are. I may be filled up with God. That's what Paul is saying. And lastly, the lesson from the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Friends, you can't borrow somebody else's oil. It can't be done. And so, as we go through the 40 days of prayer, here's what I want to let you know. It's got to be your desire to do it. No one can say, okay, go through this. You know, no one's going to take a test. Who did it? Who didn't do it? But here's what I would say. The reason why I felt it was important for us as a church, because I believe for the believers of Lake County, that what could happen if we had Spirit-filled believers, if we had Spirit-filled moms and dads, then we'll have Spirit-filled homes. If we have Spirit-filled people, then we'll have Spirit-filled churches. And according to the book of Ephesians, that and we're filled up with the fullness of God, then here's what happens. It leads us to worship dynamically and love each other powerfully, and that has always made a difference. And we'll just leave the results to the Lord. If we determine to live as Spirit-filled believers, then God will change this place. That is His promise. Now, it's all up to you and I. We're going to share around this table of communion now. I'd like the men to come, if they would, those who are going to help share. As they come, they're going to stand here to sing a song. It's an old one of reminder. And maybe you haven't sung it for a while. They'll put it up on there. Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Let me.
The men, if they would, to take the plates and begin to distribute them. Jesus came that we might have life, that we may be filled with the power of God. Let's sing this together.
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.
Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Something happened between the time of when Jesus instituted this Last Supper, this table of remembrance. The disciples would come in, and they definitely had a love for Christ, a level of dedication as his followers had followed him for 3 years. But Jesus would say at the end, you know, you're all going to fall away. And Peter would say, no, I'm not. I'll defend you to death, you know. He tried real hard, didn't he? But ultimately, on the power of their own willpower and desire, they failed terribly. But something happened. You see, the baptism of repentance and the baptism that came through the Holy Spirit would change those men. They would receive a boldness that would say, I don't care what happens. And interesting enough, they would all live very challenging lives. All but one would die a martyr's death. And because of their willingness to be filled with the Spirit, they changed the world. And they're no different than you and I. The grace of Christ proclaimed through this cup. The Lamb of God which came to take away the sins of the world. If there's something in your life this morning that is holding back the Holy Spirit from having all of you, then surrender it right now. Last week I talked about the little boy who had his hand stuck in the vase, and his dad couldn't get it out, and finally he said, what are you holding on? He's holding on to a penny. And the dad said, I'll give you 10 pennies if you let go. Here's what the Lord is saying to you. Let go. What are you holding on to? What's holding you back from that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? What's holding you back? Nothing can be that important. And He's provided everything we need here for life. He died on the cross for our sins. His blood shed for us. Allows us by believing on Him by faith to be filled and be sealed and then filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has called us as His disciples to never forget what He's done. It's because of this blood that we're able to be filled with Him. Let us do this in remembrance of Christ.